We also saw a church in Haiti that wasn't afraid to stand and raise their hands. Amen? See, we always look at that negative, and the news has a tendency to focus on the negative, right? I mean, that's what sells papers. That's what makes news interesting, so they think, right? But we also don't see that on the news about the church that's standing there with their hands raised in battle, because those folks are in battle over there in Haiti, right? I mean, they had a battle. It's a war for them. It's like a war zone. If you go over there, we have three boys that we call our sons that are from Haiti. They live down in Florida right now, and we called them right after this tragedy and asked them how their family was over there. Some they hadn't heard from. Turns out they're all right. So they all made it through that earthquake, and then we're actually in a couple of weeks we're going to go down and see one of the boys, and his family can't wait and spend the night with him, and they're lovely, spirit-filled, loving people. They're so appreciative of the smallest things that they will stand and raise their hands in praise and worship and thanks to God. Amen? Well, Pastor Delbert is out of town. He's gone down to see Lance again. Lance is sharing this morning, I think, down at their church. We had the privilege and honor to go down a couple of weeks ago and visit the church down there. Amazing facility. Our first service, there were 2,400 people in there, I think. Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it was great. The second service, there were well over 2,400 people there because they were having to park all up in the grass and everywhere else. So what we did in the first service is we actually went and participated in praise and worship and through the ministry time. And then we went in the second service, we went behind the scenes and kind of got a behind the scenes look at what they're doing at this massive, fantastic church. And I don't know if you noticed, if you visited here for any period of time, we stay away from religious terminology, religious language. We call it church speak. And we try not to use terms like that. And there's nothing wrong if you want to use those terms, but we try to talk to the average ordinary person. Because a lot of times we're talking to people that have no clue what we're talking about. And we get to speak in churchese, and it's kind of like you have to translate to them sometimes, you know. You talk about things that only the people in the church know about, and the people that don't go to church will go, what are they talking about? We don't know what that is. And so that's our job, right, is to reach people who are not churched, reach people who don't know the Lord and salvation. But we're starting a new series. It kind of has me excited, has me fired up this morning. It's on praise and worship, and it's called Praise Him and Worship Him. And I have the honor this morning to open this series up. So we're going to dive into it. We're going to jump into something that is close to my heart. It's genetically wired into me. It has been since I was a little kid. I've always had this ability to try to make music on everything, right? I mean, I would grab a hold of the piano. A lot of times it would drive people crazy. I'd sit there and play that piano until I learned how to play the chords on the piano. Same thing with guitar. I got my first guitar when I was 8 years old, and I still have it. It's in bits and pieces, but it's in the closet. I've had that thing since I was 8 years old. It's not going anywhere. It doesn't even work anymore. Half the parts aren't on it, but I promise that guitar is still going to be there when my grandkids come along. Because it's not going anywhere. That thing is close to me. It's a part of me. It's become an extension of my person. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's the attachment that I have to that guitar. It's my very first guitar, the first one I ever had. As a matter of fact, I think it came from like a hardware store. It was so primitive. So it didn't even come from a music store, but I still love that guitar. So anyway, but we're going to talk about praise and worship. We're going to look at it maybe from a little different angle from what you've ever seen before. And I don't know if you read my shirt this morning, but my shirt actually says, created to worship. And down underneath there it says, I play for an audience of one. Isn't that the truth? I play for an audience of one. Although I come up here and I sing and try to bring the congregation of the church into praise and worship and the atmosphere of praise and worship, I really just sing to Him. I sing and I play for an audience of one. And if I can succeed in doing that, then I fulfilled what my destiny is and what I'm called to do and what my genes, what my genetics tells me that's what I need to be doing. And, you know, I have the ability to get up and preach and teach and things like that, but I'm nowhere near as good at that as I am at singing and praise and worship. That's my domain. That's the area that God has given me to say, there you go. Take this. Go with it. Share that with the people. Now, prior to that, prior to playing here, now I've been here for 18 years, I think, somewhere around there, on the praise and worship team about the whole time I've been here. In fact, I think I'm the only original member left out of that 18 years because people grow, they come and go, and that's fantastic. It just so happens this is where God has placed me, and this is where I'll be. And so I've had the opportunity and the privilege to see many, many come through and experience the praise and worship grow at LifeGate Church. And it's been a battle. It's been a challenge. It doesn't always go as smoothly behind the scenes as it does up here in front of everyone. And of course, some Sundays you see where it really is a battle anyway, and it doesn't go the way we ask for it to go. And that happens because that's part of doing a new thing. Amen? So when we came into town, when LifeGate Church, which back then was a church at Lafayette, came into town and set up, it was a new thing. People weren't doing things like that. You didn't see that kind of praise and worship going on in this little town. You didn't hear that kind of music being played in churches in this little town. So it was kind of like a, whoa, look out. But we were instructed by the Lord in Psalm 98. We're going to take a look at that. The book of Psalms is just full of all kinds of praise and worship instructions. When we think of praise and worship, as a matter of fact, most of the church, I would venture to say 99%, thinks of the book of Psalm. Because the book of Psalm, it has all kinds of verses that talk about praise and worship. It talks about praising Him in so many different ways, with the dance and the loud noise and things like that. So I'm going to focus really on two psalms that I think are very appropriate for where I am and how we share with LifeGate. So the first one is Psalm 98, and it says this, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Now, I could stop right there and probably preach for days. "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." And then verse 4 says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp." Yes, with a harp, the voice of the psalm, with the trumpets, sound of a cornet. "Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King." Now, how many times did you hear sing in there? Sing, sing, sing. Right? So we are to sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, what is singing? It's just basically using your voice as an instrument to cry out and call out to God. That's what it is. The voice is really an instrument. Everybody has one. If you think of it, it's an instrument that you communicate to each other with, right? Most people that don't have a voice use their hands, right? So they develop ways to communicate. Can people who use sign communicate to the Lord? Is that their voice? Is that how they sing? Right. So, sing unto the Lord a new song. So, singing is a natural response to the Lord. It really is. Now, think about it. The sun comes up in the mornings. Sometimes even when the sun doesn't come up. But when the sun comes up in the mornings, what do you hear out the window? Birds singing. We say that the birds are singing. Why are they singing? It's a new day. Absolutely. They have a new song every morning they sing. Isn't that wonderful? I love summertime. I love spring. Love summertime. Because when you've got the windows raised and it's nice, and you open that window, and boy, when you wake up, you hear that bird singing, and you think, why is that bird singing? Right? Shouldn't we be that way? I mean, you woke up, for goodness sake. At least you did wake up. So you got a reason to sing, right? And if you didn't, you still have a reason to sing. But it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, here's where a lot of the controversy comes in. New things. The church, universally, has always kind of been standoffish at new things. We kind of get in this rut, and the things that we do, we get comfortable with. And we just stay there, and we're comfortable. Let's don't do anything new. Let's don't change anything. Hymns are one that are like that. You know, a lot of churches are still using the hymnals. You go in, the hymnals haven't really changed. They order new ones when the covers wear off of the old ones, but basically it's the same hymnal. Now, with us, I remember when we first started, we had the overhead projectors, and we would put the slides up there, you know, and then of course, we got sophisticated with all the fancy video equipment. So it's another way to bring a new atmosphere, a new song to the Lord. And then, of course, I write songs, and then we pick up the new songs that people are coming out with a contemporary sound, which is interesting to me. Now, most of the churches in our area play the same songs that we play. So isn't it fascinating how that works, how we evolve, how we grow, how the church begins to all kind of get on board at some point. That ought to let you know where the Spirit of the Lord moves, right? If everyone begins to move in that direction, then that's probably a good indication that the Lord is moving. So it says to sing unto the Lord a new song. Now I'm going to move pretty quickly through these, so I want you guys to grab a hold and hang on, okay? The second point it says, the reason you do it is because he's done marvelous things, but it says to make a joyful noise. Now, we have musicians all in our family. Even on my side, we have them. Of course, you know, my son and daughter both play and sing up here. My oldest did for a long time. My wife's side of the family, most all of them are musicians and singers. So I was with one yesterday, and he's also a pastor of a church, and I was sharing with him a little bit about where we're going in our praise and worship, and this verse immediately came up, and it says, make a joyful noise. Now, joyful is pretty simple, right? We don't really need much definition on that, right? Joyful means happy or pleasant or, you know, something that cheers you up, right? Make a cheerful, great, joyful, wonderful noise. And he said, yes, sir, as opposed to a holy racket. And so I thought about that, and you know, most preachers would get up, and you know, not all churches are blessed like we are with people that have the great musical talent and things like that. We're able to piece together a band 90% of the time, just out of nowhere we can put one together. But unfortunately, a lot of times you'll hear ministers get up and say, you know, maybe you can't sing, but you just get right on up here and that kind of thing. You won't hear that here, I promise. There's a reason for that. Because your voice may blend in very, very well with a large crowd. But stick you in front of a microphone, something happens. So I remember my first time in front of a microphone. Man, I could really sing up in the back in on the back street, but boy, when I got in front of that microphone, it was like So it wasn't a really joyful noise. You know what I'm saying? It took a little practice and a little time. So the difference between being a joyful noise and a holy racket is very, very big, right? So it needs to be something that's joyful. Something that makes you happy. Something that's cheerful. Even on the worship side of it. Even when we're worshiping, if you're crying, a lot of times it's because you're happy, not because you're sad, right? I mean, you can be happy and jump and dance and praise your and God like these folks are doing in our illustration. Or you can be happy and be crying and be soulful, right? Because you've connected to God spiritually. Because he's done marvelous things. If you keep reading in that verse, and I don't have it in my notes here, but you can keep reading. I challenge you to go read this verse. It says that, let the seas roar out. Let the mountains roar out. It even says the storms will roar out in praise and worship to God. And you remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and they were all praising him and the palm branches were being thrown down and he came in there and all the religious folks came out, all of the Pharisees and all the folks that thought they were the ones that were really closest to God when the real Savior had come into town. They would go up and they say, tell these people to stop doing this. Tell them to stop praising and worshiping you. And Jesus looked at him and said, if I tell them to stop, then the rocks will cry out and praise and worship to me. So you see, there is a connection through all creation naturally to praise and worship God. You can't help it a lot of times. It's contagious. The battle is with you fighting not to praise and worship God. It's not that you're fighting to praise and worship God. It's that you're not praising and worshiping God. You see, I've been there. I've been on that end down there. When I come in and I go, and they're playing this loud music and they're rocking and rolling. Now it's just a natural thing. I just lift my hands and I join in. And it doesn't matter where we go. I can go to any church playing any type of music, any type of song. I can join in there because I have been released to praise and worship Him. And that's what we want for you. We want you to be released. So when you come in here and you're fighting that battle to praise and worship, not to not praise and worship. You want to praise and worship. There's a battle going on within you that says, I might look silly raising my hands. Well, guess what? You won't look silly to God. And if people are looking at you, so what? Because I play for an audience of one. And I sing for an audience of one. So the battle really is not whether you're going to praise and worship. The battle is that you're not doing it and you really want to. I might just look silly. I might just look funny. People might think bad of me. So what? 90% of the time they're going to think bad of you anyway about something, so why not that, right? If they can look at me and say, you know, he praises and worships too hard, well, hallelujah. Yeah, we've actually been accused of going to church too much, if you can believe that. Y'all go to church too much. Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. So you got 2 points there. You got to sing, and it needs to be joyful, right? Joyful noise, not a holy racket. That's the thing. And you got to make a joyful noise. Make it happy. Get happy with it. Have fun with it. Even in the sad times, you can be happy. Because I promise you, if you look hard enough, you'll find something that'll be joyful, right? You know, maybe you broke your leg, but you're still alive. You know, maybe you're suffering through cancer, but, you know, there are other aspects of your life. Look at your family. Look at what you produce. Look at what's coming out of that. Look at that, you know, maybe someone else can be healed, or maybe someone else can see you go through something and then be touched. Amen? So look on the positive side. Look on the happy side, the joyful side. Because there's a time for weeping, the Bible says, but there's also a time to praise and worship. And then the third point in that verse, just in these six verses here, which I've narrowed it down, but in those six verses you see this thing. It says, make a joyful noise. And then it goes on again and it talks about make a noise. And it's mentioned three times just in that passage alone. If you just keep going through the Bible, you'll find out that it's mentioned 46 times. So we have a noisy Bible. The Bible itself is noisy. Especially when it comes to praise and worship, because most of the time that's where you find it talked about, is being noisy in praise and worship. And we used to be noisy. I mean, we've kind of toned it down a little bit. But some churches, like especially where we went down in Atlanta, they have actually gone to where they measure the amount of noise that come out. They have a certain level of noise that they want in their congregation, because they have kind of determined that that's where the comfort zone is for people to get into the praise and worship. So what we're trying to do here is bring that same atmosphere for you guys so that you're comfortable with it. We want you to learn to praise and worship. And over the next few weeks, we're going to try to develop that in you. So it's supposed to be noisy. Now, I kind of got interested in what that meant to be noisy. Does it just mean loud? Or, you know, I've been where noise and around noises that weren't joyful. You know, the continual blowing of a car horn. But one that I think everybody here that lives near the city limits can relate to is the ice cream man that rides around in town. That is not a joyful noise for me. Somebody needs to give that man a new CD or something, because he plays the same song for hours. And it's blasting through this horn and it's sharp and he rides around the neighborhood for hours. And if you've ever been over and tried to hit golf balls with that thing coming around, Tiger Woods would have killed himself a long time ago. That is not joyful. That's a piercing, awful racket. So there's a difference, right? I mean, it's a noise. It's definitely noisy. Most cities have noise ordinances, laws that govern noise. Well, the Bible kind of has one very similar to that, because when you look up the definition to the word noise, it is the Hebrew word, and they'll put it up there for you, ruha. That sounded noisy just saying that, didn't it? I mean, how many of you have ever been to the military bases where the soldiers are gathered together by the hundreds or maybe by the thousands, and when the commander or whoever's in charge at that time gets up and says something to inspire the men, they say what, Jared? And all you soldiers can relate to that, right? And really, I guess if you spell that, it would be H-O-O-H-A. So it's really close. So it's not by accident. It's not by accident that the soldiers and those that are battling things say things like that. How many of you have seen the movie 300? Right? The 300 Spartans go down, face down thousands and thousands of the other soldiers. Just 300 of them. And when he looks at them and says, Spartan, who are we? They go, who? All of them. All 300 of them. Do it at the same time. And that is a noise, but man, what a noise. You can imagine being the enemy on the other side hearing that noise coming across. Right? So just think how the enemy responds when he hears a noise of 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 Christians as they shout, Ruha! And here's what it actually means. And there are about six definitions, but you'll see one common theme. To shout a war cry, alarm of battle. To sound a signal of war. To shout in triumph. There we go. To shout in applause. To shout with religious impulse, to cry out in distress, and then finally your B and C definitions are to utter a shout, and to shout in triumph, to shout for joy. Does the word shout appear in there quite a bit? So what do? We shout to the Lord, right? That's when we sing that last song, which is another thing. We don't do those songs by coincidence. Just so happens those songs match up to what we're preaching and teaching. We pick them. They're designed that way. We pick the songs with the intention of bringing the message to you through the Word, because they're linked together. All right, now let's look at Psalm 33 for a second. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely to the upright. What does that mean? It just means that's what the upright should be doing. Those that are in church is expected to praise. There's something within you that naturally that says praise and worship is within me. Praise the Lord with the harp, singing to Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Singing to Him with a new song and then play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, I don't have 10 strings. I got 6. Okay? But if I had 10, I'd probably play all 10 of them. And they do make 7-string guitars. But what is that saying? What is that really saying? And you get another argument going on in a lot of churches about this. That sounds an awful lot like a band put together to me. I mean, I don't know how you interpret it, but it says bring the cornet and the harp and all these instruments in. Other verses say praise Him on the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the drums. Praise Him on the trumpets. Now, we don't have horns and trumpets, but we have the stringed instruments and we have the drums and we have the cymbals. Right? And we will have keyboards eventually, and we've had that in the past. But we've kind of evolved into this kind of thing. But maybe you don't play an instrument. Maybe you're not a musician. But I promise you, at some point, so one of y'all have played one of these. What's that called?
An air guitar.
Yeah, some people call it a broom. I call it an air guitar. Buddy, maybe you don't play that 6 strings, but I guarantee you play a mean air guitar. I've never seen anybody mess up on one of these. Never. How many times have you been in the bathroom and singing to the hairbrush? Huh? Mean little microphone, buddy. I'm telling you what. It becomes a microphone because it's inside you. When that music is playing, you have little, if you've had little ones, toddlers and music played in the background, what do? Yeah, if I could probably kick off a dozen songs, the intros to them, and when you hear it, you would naturally go. I mean, it's just something within you that says, I've got to cut this thing loose. Well, why not in here? Why not when we're praising and worshiping God? Why don't we air guitar just a little bit, huh? Come on. Well, we get a little loose and play some air guitar. Maybe I won't put you on a real guitar, but buddy, you can play all the air guitar you want, I promise. We won't cut you off. Same thing with singing into that hairbrush. Maybe you won't get one of the microphones up here. But you can sing in that hairbrush all you want to. Amen? Because we've been, several years ago, we went to a church up in Chicago. About a dozen of us, I think, went up there or so. And we're talking 20,000 people in there. And, you know, I know all of them probably weren't the best singers in the world. But, buddy, when 20,000 people are singing together, you're talking about something that will absolutely stir the soul. And stir the spirit. Now, I consider myself, and due to my profession in law enforcement, case, kind of a rough and tough guy, but I cried for 4 days. I couldn't stop. I was so touched and so moved. With 20,000 believers singing together, it was the most amazing sound that when the praise and worship kicked off, the band and everybody up there were so overwhelmed, they just stopped playing. And all we did was sing. 20,000 plus of us. And it just overwhelmed the band and the group so much that we just sang for a few minutes. They loved it because they could hear the praise and worship. I want to be able to hear you guys when we're praising and worshiping. So in the very near future, be ready to let your voice ring out. Be ready to come to battle. Be ready to cry out with a ruha. Let's try that. Everybody say, ruha!
Ruha!
There we go. See, don't you feel better already? I guarantee you, if you go into battle with that attitude, you will feel a whole lot better. So it says, rejoice in the Lord. So there's the happiness. It's right for the righteous to do. And then finally it says, do it on the instruments. So we'll talk about the instruments for just a minute, very few minutes. Now, I play a lot of instruments. And you'll find out here in a second, this is not one of them. And then this is going to illustrate some of the points that I've been trying to make. Right? Are you ready? Now, I did that the other day at practice, and they were going to beat me up. I mean, they were ready. They took it away from me, as a matter of fact, threw it back here in this room, because that wasn't a joyful noise. I mean, that was a noise, but wasn't really joyful. So this is really not an instrument that I play, right? So I wouldn't come in and throw that into the band. I wouldn't let just anybody else come in there and throw that in the band either, because it's not pleasant, and it's going to mess everything up. Well, see, what happens a lot of times, we let religion and religious attitudes and religious people come in like the old wolf in the sheep's clothing. You know, we get a wolf from the outside that comes in and they try to sneak in and change the way you pray. Y'all not be playing that rock and roll music like that. What we need to be doing is playing this instrument kind of stuff. And then maybe they get into it and they go, okay, but they're not that good. And so they try to mess up your praise and worship. And they try to steal your praise and worship. And, you know, you've practiced and you've got your skill going. It says play skillfully. And see, I didn't play real skillfully because I don't play this thing. Now, I play the guitar and things like that, but I don't play this thing. So maybe the wolf can sneak in through some way like that and take your praise and worship just by a distractive noise. I'll tell you what, I've got a video. Let's just watch this video for a few minutes. I'll come back and we'll wrap up. Yeah, I think it'll go straight. Remember, sorry, I'm three little pigs. One blue, and the other statues. Three little pigs are still around, but the playing you is a little modern song.
Baby. I'll show those pigs that I'm not stuck. If I can't blow it down, I'll blow it up. Really gone. With him went his corny horn, and Zombie had a run on his ways. Now he's jamming at the pearly gates.
Feedback, old feet, learn the rules. You gotta get saved to play real cool.
That's got to be my favorite cartoon in the whole world right there, buddy. I love that thing. But I got to help a little bit, okay? The version that I use there is actually different than the original. You know, he went down instead of up. But the principle is he went through hell in practicing. If you notice, he got progressively better each time he changed, right? And what happened is the three little pigs in this video, they changed venue three times. And so they kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger, right? So how does that tie in with praise and worship? Well, it ties in the New Testament in this way. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Now, you can have a church of sticks or straw. You can have a church of sticks, or you can have a church of bricks, right? All of these things collectively together build a good, strong church. And that's why 90% of the churches, you'll see two things together, praise and worship, and then teaching and preaching of the word or instruction, right? And most churches have that in common. I don't know of any in our area that doesn't at least have some form of that in common. Now, whether all we agree on what instruments and what kind of songs to do is irrelevant. Those are the two common factors. So when you come together, we're instructed to bring songs, sing hymns, and that kind of thing, and bring instruction together. And let's go on to Colossians 3:16 as we wind this thing up for today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So, you see, there's an expectation. It doesn't say if you will sing psalms. It says when you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there's an expectation of praise and worship. And it's to be done in gratitude, right? So the three little pigs would not let the wolf come in and steal their joyful noise that they were making, right? And that's our challenge. That's my challenge to you, is not let that wolf sneak in and stop you from joining in a joyful noise in praise and worship. Don't let the wolf sneak into your little ear and say, I'll come in another way. I'll sneak in the back door. I'll stop you from your praise and worship one way or another. I'll turn it into a holy racket instead of a joyful noise. You know, we get enough holy racket during the week. We need a joyful noise on Sunday. Amen? I mean, if we want something bad, we can go experience the world for a little while. This is where we come to renew. We come to sing a new song. We come to rejoice. We come to shout out Ruha in battle as we enter praise and worship. Amen? So that's just the first phase of what we're looking at with praise and worship. And I thank you for your attention. So let's pray, if you'll stand with me. Maybe you've been in the church for a long, long time, and you want to be released into praise and worship in a whole new way. Maybe you've been here for just a little while, but you're saved, and you want to be released to praise and worship to a whole new dimension. You want to experience it in a whole new way, and the wolf has come to your door and tried to stop you or tried to blow your house down. If that's you, I want to pray with you. As with me, I've had to watch my house get stronger and stronger over the years. Over the last 18 years, this venue has changed. We've gone from the house of straw to the house of bricks. And that's where we want to be. We want to keep growing and growing. I want to make it a house of solid stone, built on the solid rock. Amen. 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 So if that's you, pray with me. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to praise and worship you, Lord. We thank you for the marvelous things. And Lord, we won't let the rocks steal our praise. We won't let the mountains cry out in our stead, Lord. We will do it. We will enter praise and worship You with You, Lord, in a whole new way as we grow over the next few weeks and the next few months, and Lord, over our lifetime. And maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you don't have that reason to celebrate. Maybe you don't have that reason to be joyful. Maybe you're far from God. You're separated from Him in a way that you want to be connected. If that's you and you'll raise your hand, I promise you, I'll pray for you this morning. We'll have others that will be praying also. If that's you and you're far from God and you need a reason to come and praise and worship Him, then I definitely want to pray with you. Amen. Father, we do. We pray for all those, Lord, that are far from You. We ask that You present Yourself in a whole new way to them this week. Lord, starting today as we leave, that You present Yourself to them in a way that will make them want to praise and worship You in a total different dimension, Lord. That they, if they don't know You, that they get to know You this week. And Father, we pray for every one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for your attention. The next few weeks are going to be a blast. I'm telling you, they're going to be wonderful. You don't want to miss the next few weeks. It's going to be life-changing. I hope this has been life-changing for you. And again, give me a big shout. Ruha! There we go. Let's go to war.